Here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister! Answer! Well, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
Hi, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, John. How are things?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, very good, thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic. Thanks for holding on for such a long time there. I apologise for that.
Always good.
So this week, we want to talk about the signing in of the new Governor-General.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is linked very closely, what we're going to talk about, to the release of Nikki Haga's new book this afternoon. And it's called The Other People's Wars, New Zealand and Afghanistan, Iraq and the War on Terror. Now, John, this is an amazing piece of work by Nikki Haga, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But first off, yes, absolutely. The Lieutenant General Sir Gerry Matapare was yesterday sworn in as our new New Zealand Governor General. And I draw a listener's attention, John, to a Metro magazine editorial by Simon Wilson, its editor, that's in the September issue, so that's the current issue of this month's edition. Now, he is making a pitch here, and he is saying that New Zealand, yes, new Governor General, yes, Lieutenant General Sir Gerry Matapare has in many respects had a distinguished career. And he is asking, this is the Metro editor, he's asking just how distinguished, however, when we still do not know, because for the part, know what his involvement was up in Afghanistan relating to the controversy over the SAS handing over allegedly captives that it had got to the United States forces and also the Afghan forces, security forces, knowing that they may be tortured. Now, that's in breach of the Geneva Convention. Now, what the Metro magazine article is doing is it's saying, why has Gerry Matapare been kept out of sight for the past 4 months since this became public knowledge? Metro also asks, and you know, basically we ask the same questions as well, that is this all about hiding away from revelations that have been coming through the media, like through this investigative journalist piece by John Stevenson, that story that was broke in Metro back in April 25th on Anzac Day in New Zealand this year. Metro also points out, you know, before we move on, that Matapare is the former head of the SAS, head of the Army and certainly the head of the New Zealand Defence Force, and has therefore been responsible in one capacity or another, so the editorial goes, for the troops in the field and for advising the government on their activities over this entire period of the Afghan war. Yeah. Now, this is the backdrop, really, to this whole thing that is going to obviously be consumed in the news with the revelations and that are also in Nikki Haga's book today, John. And, you know, many questions are being put there. And Metro, like us, you know, have asked these questions. Yeah. And when I say us, I mean Scoop and other media. We continue to ask, what role has the new Governor-General played in all of this?
Yeah.
Now, those answers are elusive.
Are you just getting kind of flat denials, or is it just something that's kind of, we'll move on to something else kind of thing?
Well, you get a varied thing. You get no response whatsoever from Chris Wright, the person responsible for media relations in New Zealand Defence. He doesn't even reply to emails, in my case. With the Prime Minister, with John Stevenson, the response was to ridicule one of New Zealand's most awarded investigative journalists, saying he had no credibility. With the new Governor-General in the last 4 months before the appointment, where's he been? No one can kind of find him. No one can get hold of him.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing really, too, has other aspects to it here, too. Gerry Matapare was head of the New Zealand Defence, for example, when revelations were made exposing the Wilsk scandal. Now, that, to remind listeners, the Wilsk scandal came about when it was found a highly appointed official in New Zealand's Defence Security Wing was found to have doctored his CV and falsely amplified his experience. He got appointed to the job on the back of those false claims.
Yeah.
And this was not picked up by the New Zealand Defence. It was not picked up by the New Zealand SIS, nor the New Zealand government as a whole, but picked up by three news producer, Eugene Bigham, and presenter Paula Penfold.
This was the English guy, wasn't it? This is the...
It was.
Yeah.
You know, and further to that, and this monologue, Ed, I'm sorry, apologise for
no,
that.
No, no, please.
Round again. is in December, there was the WikiLeaks release of a cable between Wellington-based Embassy of the United States, and that cable was an official and secret document recording a communication between the embassy, the US Embassy in Wellington, and the Bush administration's foreign wing back in Washington. Mm. Now, that document, it stated, that cable from WikiLeaks, that WikiLeaks release, it stated that the US Embassy had a highly placed New Zealand defence official leaking it information, that information included classified secret information originating from the New Zealand cabinet of the Helen Clark government, including secret discussions supposedly taking place amongst its cabinet ministers about the stance that New Zealand had over the US invasion of Iraq. Now, on discovering that cable that was released in December 2010, the National-led government, it did not do anything at all. It didn't even set in train an investigation to hunt down who the spy was. Yeah. It was totally silent. It sat there. Even the State Services Minister, Tony Ryle, the State Services Commissioner too, they didn't utter one word of response to all of these claims. Mm. And arguably, it could have been one of the biggest breaches of New Zealand government information that we've ever had. Instead, what we saw was the Prime Minister announced shortly after that, within months, that the head of the New Zealand Defence was going to be appointed the Governor General. Now, 30 minutes ago, investigative journalist, you know, Nikki Hager, yeah. Investigative author, now this comes into the frame. He launched his book, and this book, it digs so deep into this whole affair, but also it goes right back to 2001, September 11, and tests what New Zealand's real role was in the war on terror, Afghanistan, Iraq, and other theatres of conflict. And he goes into making a pitch, Nikki Hager does, and saying that in many cases, New Zealand defence officials and also foreign affairs officials basically did their own politics, decided what they believed should be done, and actually did that, and in some cases acted totally against the expressed commands of the New Zealand government of the day. So it's a fantastic read, and I suggest that people get out to the bookstores. It's in the bookstores now, and buy up a copy of that.
Can I just ask, just for the purpose of our listeners who might not know, who actually appoints the Governor General? Because obviously it's not a democratic thing. Oh, who does it?
Yep. Well, officially, the Queen appoints the Governor-General. The Governor-General here, that's the British Queen, appoints the Governor-General. The Governor-General here, the name of the person would be nominated by whoever was the Prime Minister in the New Zealand government at the time. So John Key in the National-led government would have nominated the person and recommended to the Queen that Jerry Matapare be appointed. The Queen then, in good faith, would have appointed that person as her representative, as the head of state here in New Zealand.
Well, that brings me on to something else that we spoke about before earlier this morning, and that's the mere position of Governor General. I mean, to me personally, you know, regular listeners will know my stance on monarchy and democracy, and you know, for me, because there's been a lot of talk, oh, he's being sworn in, isn't it great? And, you know, he's this guy, and you've explained your side, and then you've got the other side where people are going, what a fantastic guy, and da-da-da-da. But the one thing that people aren't kind of standing, no one's kind of standing back and going, hang on a minute, why do we have to have a foreign queen as our head of state? And why don't we get to vote on it? And just a little bit of a tangent here, and this ties into it. It's just that whole, we can't say anything bad about the Queen. I don't know whether you saw on the news last night, I can't remember what channel it was on, and they had Prince Harry clearly off his nut on something. I don't know what it was, clearly hammered.
Barefoot dancing in Greece or something.
That's Croatia. And I'm just sort of watching it thinking to myself, you know, he's off his nut, and my family back home are paying for him to be off his nut, and no one's come out and gone, hang on a minute, that ain't right. Oh yeah, no, people are allowed to have fun, but you know,
I mean, this whole thing about monarchy and republicanism, you know, it's obviously the republic, whether New Zealand should become a republic is obviously going to be there in the future. The National League government in its term, the last term, stopped the advance that had been made under the Labor-led government to actually address that issue. And in many cases, in many people's minds, and clearly, you know, many politicians are very open about it, it is a representation of a relic of the past, meaning the whole system. You know, if you look at this Jerry Matapare thing, for example, he's appointed as the Governor-General. He's been silent for the last 4 months. There are major issues relating to the confidence in the New Zealand Constitution here, in a sense, that he is representing the New Zealand way, the New Zealand government at the highest level. And we have not been able to put questions to him in a way that you would if you were electing the person. Now, if he was campaigning to be the head of state for New Zealand, you would be able to put him through the hoops on these issues that are there, but they're all floating about. And to be fair, you know, or to address this, how unfair is it to Jerry Matapare as the new Governor-General with all this cloud circulating around him if he does actually have a reasonably minded answer to all of these concerns? If he does, well, you know, the Governor-General, he needs to get out there now and actually front the public and actually explain his situation here, because this is a damning indictment on really the whole of New Zealand's fabric here.
Yeah. I always, whenever we talk about, or whenever people talk about the government, I just can't get past the fact that, you know, it should be a New Zealander who's head of state in New Zealand. I mean, this is a fantastic country with some amazing people who've done some amazing things, you know, world-renowned, and yet you've got, an English person as your head of state. You know, it's just, I don't know, bugs me.
There's some strange things that do come around this that people probably aren't aware of. Every time the Queen visits New Zealand, the New Zealand taxpayer pays for all of that. It's not the British government or anything else. The expenses are huge. That's not just security costs. That's everything.
I think last year we had a two-day visit of the grandson, the one that just got married. What's his name? William.
William, yeah.
$200,000 for a two-day visit.
Very popular man, and obviously, you know, went to the right places and had the right attitude. Mm. But once again, we get back to the same thing. Is this a relic of the past?
Yeah.
In this whole system, or is New Zealand a proud, independent Pacific Island state that actually has the maturity to stand up and say, this is what we are, and we stand as individuals here on this particular planet and represent ourselves?
Well, look, Selwyn, again, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We must crack on, but thanks for coming on the show, and I've really enjoyed talking to you this week. Certainly a subject close to my the angry part of my heart, you know.
Okay, John.
Thanks a lot, mate. See ya.
Bye.